morning and welcome to the program Perspectives. Perspectives this morning on Invicta 98.9. And this morning, we're going special, and special in the sense that we're going to the health sector. Nigerians, of course, will know that there is a pandemic that is on now, and very serious at it. The NCDC, the Nigerian Center for Disease Control and Prevention, has come up to say that we have over 1,524 suspected cases, you know, of cholera, and 53 deaths and above that now in 31 states across 107 local government areas of the country. This is serious. This disease has taken, of course, this pandemic has taken over, you know, our loved ones, parents, and those who really do care about. Even has taken health workers too, has taken their lives, and so it is serious. And for that, government has created, activated national emergency operation centers all over the states, and so this is serious. Cholera. And some suspected cases, or people say that high fever, you know, people put it on, malaria and all of that. But that comes with dehydration, that comes with diarrhea, and that comes with, some sorts of related cases of, what you would say that is cholera. It is on now, and some people really do not know that it is not malaria, as we will come to see it. But again, it has moved into what is called cholera. And of course, cholera, how is it, how does it affect us, and how do we get infected? Water in all of this. Pipe bomb water, the sachet water we drink, matter of fact, boreholes, and of course, feces. Nigerians defecate all over the places. That's the stuff we see. Open defecation. We see that all over the places. And the fly is a carrier. And that's what we see. And it's so worrisome because we just imagine sanitation. We are not too good on that. And so, recorded, deaths all over the place. And I have decided, not a doctor, to bring on this matter, on health matter, but I'm bringing in a water engineer, because this is one area that affects our water. What kind of water? Flood water? What kind of water? Sachet water? Matter of fact, even when we say that we do have tanks, above, and all of this, pond water, rivers, and all of that, where all of these can come. And so I'm bringing in with me in the studios already, Engineer Idris Musa. Engineer Idris Musa is a water engineer, oil and gas expert, and a politician. My guest this morning, Engineer Idris Musa, good morning.
Good morning, Tony Arabi, the Oloyi.
I'm here with you, we're here together. Very of serious concern.
Yes.
This is in the health sector.
Yes.
And of course, the deaths. And, you want to talk of the range of people that can be affected or, get seriously infected. People say from 5 years above, but it does not spare anyone from top to bottom, waterborne diseases and that brings in cholera. As an engineer, water engineer, we look at waters we take. Of course, we do know that there are people, Nigerians, that take river water from rivers, the pond, sachet water, and of course, the big ones who can afford it now will say they have the over tanks and all of that. But water and how the spread of this disease, cholera.
Absolutely. You see, if you take the whole of this, I also saw that brief comment, or rather, a statement by the NCDC regarding. Present, in fact, they call it epidemic.
Mm.
But if you look at all of this, I think at the end of the day, what you may see, permeating within the society is cholera.
Mm.
And if you go to look for the dictionary meaning of cholera, as any health expert will tell you, it has to do with, cleanliness, environment, how clean is your environment, sanitation, all of this, you talk of open defecation.
Mm.
And then we came to a season where, not too long ago, it was dry season, as it is in Nigeria. And we came into the rains between April, May, June. And the rains are really setting in. Last week, those who are predicting weather, NIMET, said that I think very shortly, we're going to have constant rain, everyday constant rain.
Mm.
If that happens, it's going to be another epidemic because we have not been able to control this kind of water pouring in, you know, because water just finds its way and then go to people's homes. It becomes, you know, a matter of life and death, as it were. In the past 2-3 years back, we saw what happened in Lokoja when and some other parts of Najitigawa and all of that, when rain came in like that, and it became a problem, you know, couldn't be controlled, and flooded everywhere, you know, eat up homes, you know, agricultural material, produce and all of that. But you see, if you come down to what we are trying to look at, the way you do your opening, you see, cholera, why do we have this NDCD? Why are they afraid that an epidemic has set in? You see, our sanitation, you know, in Nigeria is very poor. Incidentally, people will understand me if I make this statement. Elsewhere, people want to see where there are a lot of deaths permitting everywhere. So much dirty.
Mm.
I remember in the days of Bola Ige in the late 70s, early 80s, when he was governor of Oyo State, he has said that in Agodi, in Ibadan, every morning, by the time he come back to work, he go there, he see a lot of deaths like that. If they pack it, he has instructed that you pick it in the night. If they pick it in the night, the next morning at 6 a.m., if he gets there, refuse has come back the way it were. Mm. In order to climb, this is dollar business, cash, big money.
Mm.
But why is it big money? You see, when you have what they call sanitary landfills, you have dumps where you put all your dirty. It's big money. You generate a lot of things from there. Fertilizer, cooking gas, and all of that. So many things come out from this dirty that me and you know.
Mm.
So he ended up saying that unless our people, I'm talking about Bola again, I'm quoting him, if they stop using leaves, another carriage material, light carriage materials, we will not ever stop getting dead. And unless we develop into mechanical aspect of taking care of this, you remember Professor Awojobi? He used to cook with this gas, you know, that I generate from this stuff. He way back in the 80s, Professor Awojobi is a mathematician.
Yes, I know.
But he puts the dirt together, cook it up, generate a lot of heat. And then he collects whatever his technology has there. But over there, he's cooking with it. So these things are there. But unfortunately, we have not been able to, over time, up to this moment, manage our dirty just so it can be go to us. I'm going to come there.
Yes, I'll give you a break here. Yes. Because I'll take you back. And because I grew up in that Nigeria of that time.
Yes.
Sanitation officers.
Yes.
Who would go around.
Yes.
And you see them. You know, yes, all the drainage.
I was going to come to that.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Incidentally, you see, when I grew up in Sabongari's area too, I was able to also notice all of these things. My father was a civil servant. We have quarters where we were living. I think every fortnight or so, the sanitation experts, they come to fumigate the gutter and all of that, what we may call gutter, and the environment. So you have less mosquitoes, you have less insects, all those things that could be dangerous to human. All those things were very minimal then. And then you have less throwing away of dirty. Less of it. Each time you have a dirty being thrown out, it is collected, a bowler, in a dustbin.
Mm.
It's never thrown away. Then there are people come to pick it and they take it away. So you have less deaths, you know, becoming a menace within your immediate environment. Because when that happens, all kinds of diseases come about. Maybe you go touch something, you go to defecate, you go to do all, it becomes a problem. Dead animals, dead fowl, and all of that. It becomes a lot of problem. But unfortunately for us, we've not been able to manage the situations we find ourselves in. It's a very large topic, but we'll just take it away, be able to, I mean, since we don't have enough time for that, but we'll be able to look at it.
Mm.
When I talked of sanitary landfills, when I worked in the Niger Delta, the company I worked in, the quarters we were staying, they have three systems of disposal.
Because whether you like it or not, once you live in an environment, you have a house, you must generate refuse.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? You must generate refuse. So these refuse are in some certain categories, maybe three or four categories. Number one, there are combustible refuse. Papers, newspapers, you know, which of us, if you can collect them, you can recycle them.
Hmm.
And now today, those days there was in paper bags. We used to have paper bags, but today we have leather bags that you can't incinerate them.
Mm.
They are the very big ones that are creating problem today for us. Then you have bottles, you have metals, you have all of that, and then you have the wet material. So each time you dispose refuse, there are sorting system. They bring in, like my company, they come and throw three or four bags for you. This bag, you throw combustible papers and all of that. The other bag, you throw hard materials like bottles, iron, and all of that. So you sort out. So as soon as the guy comes to pick the refuse, those who have been settled with refuse disposal, if he comes there, if he picks the one where it has this combustible material, he knows where to take it to. Where they have non-combustible material, he knows where to take it to. So this thing has been predetermined how they will take it to sanitary landfills. So you see, sorting of those refuse is easy. But what we have in Nigeria, the bottle, look at one very dangerous aspect. Go to our, let me even say this, maybe authorities will hear us. One day I went to Shika, ABU. Wallahi, when I went to their refuse disposal, I was disappointed. I saw needles, I saw scalpel, this thing doctors, surgeons use in making operations and all of that. Mm. You saw all of this thing, you know, carelessly disposed. And we ought not to see needle, the one you know in the hospital.
Mm.
You are not even supposed to see it in your eyes, because there are special equipment that you can just, as soon as it is usually in the hospital, as soon as it is used, because you're the only ones that use needle, like you know.
Mm.
You throw it out there, it grinds it. Immediately, it becomes dust and is kept out there. That's how they dispose them. But unfortunately, our own, you pick them up in the viral refuse bins. So this is the problem we had. So when you go to the sanitary landfill, sorting that becomes a problem. How do you begin to sort? What are you supposed to take away and all of that? So these are the problems we've always had. I remember in Kaduna, there was a certain lady who was given contract to dispose this service. Where they have our sanitary landfill, one is in, if you are going to Abuja, after Gunungura, is by the right there. That place is supposed to be an industry of dollar industry. But unfortunately, the place has been misused. So as I speak today, the place is still lying idle. Nobody is using it to bring out those things that would have been of benefit to humans. So these are the kind of the problems. And you mentioned briefly that those days there were these Dubagali, the sanitary inspectors that will come and then fumigate. How many people have fumigated in our environment today? Nobody fumigates, so these are the problem. But meanwhile, if you come down to what is happening presently, it has to do with what we call flood runoffs.
Mm.
Each time it rains, you know, especially if the rains are approaching, if they say, you see Haderi, you see the rain is about to rain.
Mm.
What do you call Haderi in English?
All the storms.
Yeah? Storms. Rain, yes. Storm. Okay, yes. Rain, storm. Okay, the thing will gather.
Mm.
It make it all.
Cloud gathering.
Cloud. Yeah. The rain approaches.
Yes.
Once our people see that, the next they do it, they go and drop refuse they have dumped, and they bring it to the quarter, to the gutter, and then dump it there. In the process, it blocked it. Once it blocked it and the rain comes eventually, instead of pushing it, because sometimes these gutters are not wide enough or deep enough, people to just flow away like that.
Mm.
It became clogged, and then it emits the carriage, and then it gets back to the environment. In the process of that, it pollutes the environment.
Mm.
That's one. Then secondly, because it is not properly carried to go to dispose to the environment, it remains within the immediate environment. And in the process, you may have wells, you may have boreholes, you may have all of that, you may have doing open defecation, and then when this water comes, this flood runoff comes like that, it settled, you know, momentarily.
Mm.
And then, yeah, if you look, you don't see the water again, what happened? It has suddenly gone down.
No.
So, and then it has gone to pollute whatever surface water you have, whatever overburden you have. It goes and settles there and then pollute your surface water or your underground water, and then it becomes a problem, becomes an epidemic. And then you have this market gardening that we all know here. What is market gardening? What we call lembu.
Mm.
Incidentally, in other climes in the developed societies, Lembu market gardening is a welcome development where you have your carrots, you have your lettuce, you have your cabbage, you have your aleho, you have all of this you can pick up in less than 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They are ready for harvest and all of that. So, but unfortunately for us, they use untreated water, you know, to wet them. Is that what the water to use now? Are you buying your water to give them, feed them with water?
Yes.
Irrigation system, but that is what it is. So if you irrigate those your crops with that bad water, before it expiates from it, it's ready to eat. So you are eating bacteria. The carrots we eat today, as it is, it has a taste. It is not the taste of the normal carrot, probably with your age now, Oloye, you are eating in the mid-70s or thereabout. The carrot eat today, the taste is different, the smell is different. It's not like what you used to have. It is because it has been polluted. Our people are not patient. So. But if you are supposed to, if I have been sanitary inspectors, if you have any such water course that could, hamper the environment, by the time you are releasing it, it should have been pre-treated. You pre-treat it before you eventually release it to the environment. So that way, it will no longer be harmful. It's going to be useful to the crops you are doing. So these are some of the things that we lack here. And then again, our people, if they go to, especially our mothers, if they go to clean up their babies, and then she's busy in the kitchen or somewhere, as soon as the boy just mess up, why did you, she just rush there, take the baby, clean up briefly, maybe her hands, she come back to the kitchen and continue what she's doing. It has infected her food.
Yes.
She's always in a hurry to do that. So some of these people don't take care of that. And sometimes if we want to eat, nobody care about whether he cleans his hands or not.
And that's why we insist on washing your hands.
Basic hygiene.
Yes.
We are lacking the basic hygiene. Somebody will tell me, but I just finished prayers. I just washed. It's not like that. You have shook somebody who probably may be carrying. The other day I had cause to shake somebody. I said, I won't shake you. Say why? I said, just now you blew your nose there and I saw you using your hand to clean that. You rubbed it in your two fingers. You want me to go? I won't shake you. You are not the small one. Don't do that. Don't you see it?
We see that.
These are the problems. I said, I won't shake you because I saw what you did now. You blew your nose and you come and you rub your hands there. You think it's all over? So this is not a problem. Of course, I know like when the SCDC COVID came and all of the hub, they insisted, sanitize your hand. Even that culture had always been dumped again, our people. But those days when the COVID thing was on, people insisted they have to clean their hand and all of that.
Engineer.
Let me give you the big one.
Yes.
Maybe you can expand on it.
Okay.
I spoke of flood runoff. You have boreholes.
Yes.
These boreholes, apart from the other coarser ingredients that pollutes the environment, unfortunately, the system, borehole water is one of the things that creates that today, especially the packaged waters, what we call pure water.
Yes, that was getting there.
We don't take our time and really explain this. You see, when you dig a borehole, it depends on where you are digging it. Sometimes these boreholes are close to, some, what you call, bowler, that it has stayed there over time. So, and then the environment, that subsurface, is very porous. By this, I mean that if it rains or it easily finds its way to the underground. You follow what I'm telling you. In the process, it pollutes whatever underground water you have there. That's one. Secondly, when people do boreholes, these days boreholes are usually done on our roads that you ply. You know what I mean? The small street that leads to your house. When you were building your house, you didn't know that you were going to do a borehole. Suddenly, you have built a house. You don't have access to moving the equipment to go and drill your borehole. You want to do it along the gutter or on the street. Then you now make some basement, cement base to be able to cover it up more like, so that vehicles can slide on it. But if you so drill a borehole, there is a way you can package it and then you'll be free from some of these surface causes that could pollute your environment. By that, I mean that you can grout the borehole. You can grout the overbody. What this means is that if, for instance, you do a survey and your overburden maybe is less than 10 meters or above that, you just need to grout that 10 meters so that it cannot, all this unwanted water cannot get back to the borehole. So what we see today, each time there is a flood runoff, it rains, the water finds its way back carries all the dirty, all the germs, everything, and they find its way inside that bowl. And that's how people drink it. And unfortunately, people don't treat their water. They don't boil water. They don't, and they just drink it directly.
Well, again, I'll break it and put it in bits. Oh, it's all over the place. I mean, we say that some people would say, well, where's the clean water that you want to use? And so pure water is all over the place. I've been fortunate to go to a pure water, would I say, factory or, you know, where it's been. And the environment again, how it's been treated. It's you know, I saw something. It was not just good for me, what I saw. But again, that's what we're left with. All Nigerians, you know, well, let's just say that most Nigerians would say that pure water, you know, is better than just any water.
No, don't use that word.
Mm.
You can retract it.
Okay.
Pure water is not better than any water. It is not. You see, the word pure is, it's unfortunate that people are using the word pure water. If you take packaged water, for instance, how was it packaged? What was the water source? How was it treated? And all of that. These are the problems. You see, I had cost to have gone to several packaging concerns, both in Kano, in Kaduna, across the northern region, where I had cost to go and inspect or do boreholes or do water treatment systems and all of that. I must tell you that, well, it is fair to give it to those who take their time to follow all the procedures and all of that. But I must tell you that majority of those water that get to the our rural people, it is garbage in garbage right from the source of the borehole. Very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
When you go to the borehole itself, where the water is supposed to have been taken from the from what they now call raw water or the sediment tanks and all that, before it passes through the system filtration, and then you go to where you bag at the end of the day, you take it out. We have one short equipment that we use in testing either the pH level of the water on some unclean issues from there. Once we look at it like that, we saw that a lot of problems are there. Because for the NAFDAC, which is very unfortunate, incidentally, NAFDAC has their laboratory in Barnawa. But ask them, how long do they, if you see them inspecting people who have packaged water, they go to the big ones who already have their system in place. And one small excuse, they want to make noise there. And they need to go to where people don't even have factories. From their rooms, they bottle their water or they package their water in pure water and they take it to the market. That's why you see unhealthy, you know, on some kind of uncleanness there. And our people don't want, always want to know that when we some of us who are knowledge in the business, we come to say, look, it is not the water that is clean. If you take water, you see it in a plate, like the very clean. You say, this water is good. Oh, it tastes good. That is not there. There are a lot of impurities in that water. Only through a microscope can you know what is there. Or when you take it, it becomes a problem for you. Can you know that that water is polluted? It's not the water you can drink. So NAFDAC need to do a lot of things here to ensure that water who goes out from the factory, Vero factory, where they are able to take their statistics, they have to be sure that it is portable for drinking and for domestic use. So this is the problem we have currently. That is why when this cholera sets in, you are not safe if you say you have gotten a pure water. Just, we are using a pure water because for people to understand. Otherwise, it's supposed to be packaged water. So you won't say because, I bought a pure water there, so I drink it there. You are rather drinking jam, something that will kill you immediately. Unfortunately, people don't look at it like that. Oh, it is cold, it is sweat. You just put it in the mouth and before you know it, it's gone. And if you look at the regulation of NAFDAC itself, the packaged water itself, that pure water, it's supposed to be 50 cl. But people today package 25 cl, 30 cl. And they go to the market with it. And they sell it at the market price. What is NAFDAC doing? Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying.
I do. I'm following.
You will see the pack is big, heavy.
Yes.
Well, now you know, go finish it at a go. But today you can take three. And before you know it's finished because it is not followed. It didn't follow the regulation. What is NAFDAC doing? They're supposed to have checked them, picked them, disallowed them from taking the water out. But today, everybody does what they want. Nobody cares about that. So this is our problem. So packaged water, if well checked, is supposed to be next step to the hygiene or whatever. But for us...
I may be having a problem here, engineer, because again... Packaged water is all, whether it comes in pure water of the one we do every day. And then you have the bottled water.
Yes.
Just what's the difference? Yeah.
Let me give you an example. Let me just give you an example.
Yes.
I happen to have visited Kieran. Kieran is a Mangu local government in Plateau State.
Hmm.
Kieran, that's where you have this swan. You know, I think they have another plant along, if you're going to Lokwaja, they have another plant there. But this very one, I had been there. You'll be wondering, it's supposed to be from the hills.
Yes.
The water just drop from the hills like that. But ordinarily, you are just, say, maybe you would have just done some underground water and they allow it to collect there, and then they take it, they make an intake, and they begin to put it. But they drill a borehole right down on the foot of the hill. I saw it. They drill a borehole on the, at the foot of the hill. And then attract whatever, you know, fracture that permeates there. And then with whatever they collect from the water that runs from the hills, and there is the water. And then they follow all the processes from the place where they take the water up to where they package and all of that. All the materials are stainless. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. They are stainless. Stainless in the sense that the whatever bacteria it may be carrying along the walls of the pipe, it will just slip away without necessarily residing into it. Unlike when
that,
you use another
that
pipe.
That would be safe water, right?
No, not safe yet. I'm only telling you the courage, the movement to the treatment. Okay. It has to be treated, right?
Yes, okay.
Because even the pH of the water, it had to be okay before you ever allow it to go to package. You have to test the pH. Look, you see, the UNICEF allow that you have, there are about 30-something parameters, various treatments, real systems that you need to take away. But I think what we now see most of these companies do is about some do 10, some do the, but basically it's supposed to be 13. You have the pH, you have torpidity, you have hardness, you have chloroform. Chloroform is bacteria. Yeah. Is bacteria. You need to culture it, or you need to fire it with a UV or whatever. But there are certain things you put there, and there is color. You know, there is all of these agents. It's what you take away when you put up a good water treatment system. And then you have ozone generation, that door we call aeration. If it gets into the water, whatever water the reservoir you have, the ozone does what they call aeration. It's aggregated and make it to bring out more whatever you have there, and then take it to UV. Maybe go through what we call a membrane system, and then maybe you put an arrow, reverse osmosis, and the bacteria you get at the end of the day, you have what I call good cleansing system. But meanwhile, you don't just treat any water anyhow. You have to, the systems are peculiar to one another. If you want to treat, you want to use water using RO, reverse osmosis, you have to test your water and see what are the chemical components in that water before you know whether I have to use ultraviolet, UV, or have to use
technicalities
RO, reverse osmosis before you begin to do that. Otherwise, you have other carbon and sand and all of that. Normal system, but you have to have done a test. Most of the boreholes I do, I tell the people, I say, look, I know now you may want to be drinking it directly. I have always warned them, do not drink water right from the borehole. That had been my toga. I have always told everybody, do not drink water from the borehole directly. It's going to harm you. What do? People just put these candle filters, maybe some 5 micron and all of that. You think it's not. There are a lot to it if you are talking of water that you can drink as an elixir, you know, to take off, you know, diseases from you. You need to do a lot there to be able to
get it. We'll see, talk more about that. Well, it's Perspectives, it's a special edition of Perspectives this morning, and it's moving into our health, your health, and my health. And of course, we've seen outbreak of cholera now, and the Minister of Health, Professor Adipati, so worried about the situation that we have on ground. Like today, we're saying that more than 53 deaths. More than that, a lot of that, you know, that we're having. It has gone through 31 states. And of course, we're talking about 107 local governments that it is affecting, and that is going on. It's an epidemic that is on, and of course, what we need to do. And we're bringing in it. We're bringing this on because, again, what do we do? Pure water is like the order, the fad of the day. Everyone wants a pure water and a cold one. And then how safe are all of these? You have boreholes in your homes. How safe are they? You know, and flooding. We're on with it. The rains are here with us, and we're going through all of that. So we're just giving you. And when you do notice some health challenges, it's not what you just sit at home and think it's just cholera. It's just malaria and whatever names you give to it. There could just be more to it. And we're talking with a water expert and a water engineer, sharing his thoughts with us about when we get to the stage of water, clean water, and all of that. We'll come back after this commercial break.
We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.